This CKNW podcast is brought to you by Destination Toyota in Burnaby, your neighborhood Toyota store.
All right, and welcome to the show. We have a lot going on today. We're going to be speaking with Melissa Arbour in just a moment from Canadian Tire, talking about winter tires, all-weather tires, and why it's important for you to get winter tires and also how you can get good information. We're going to get an update from Mark Bergevin from Odessa. We had a show on last week asking people to call in about auction-related items, and we have a good news story, a follow-up for you, and then we'll do open phones for the second half of the show. So to kick it off, it's interesting. Canadian Tire had an event. They actually rented an ice rink. They had Ford Focus cars equipped with all-season tires and then the Hankook Optimo 4S all-weather tire. And you might have seen some of the news stories on TV. Well, I got a chance with Melissa Arbour, their tire expert and their chief buyer at Canadian Tire. It's a big job. Imagine being the chief person in charge of tires at Canadian Tire. That's a big, big job. And it's a very smart woman. Melissa Arbour, my conversation with here on Driving. Now, I always love having Melissa Arbour on from Canadian Tire because I think it's kind of cool that you know so much about tires. And here we are again. We did this last year, talking about what people should be looking for at this time of year when it comes to tires. Is it too late to get tires now? Or are there still lots of stock available?
Still plenty of stock available, but now is the best time to be installing winter tires.
Because as soon as that first snow flies, there's a lineup out the door, and some of the harder sizes to get, they run out, don't they?
Definitely. The newer sizes are always the first to go. And if you want to save yourself a bit of time, it's always better to get out a little bit earlier. And also, you never want to be stuck in that morning of when you have the first frost and the first ice on the ground. You never want to be without winter tires.
Okay, I guess we're assuming somebody going to Canadian Tire has already made that decision. So we really want to talk to the people who haven't made that decision to invest in the security that comes with a good set of winter or all-weather tires. So we're going to talk about the difference, first of all. Mm-hmm. We all know all-season tires. They've been marketed for many decades, and they're a bit misleading because they're not really for all seasons, are they?
Definitely. We actually have a standing joke at Canadian Tire, and this is our own internal humor, but that the all-season term was actually coined in North Carolina because they actually use the same tires and call it all-season North Carolina. But obviously, our temperatures, our climate, and what we have to endure is very, very different. So definitely an all-season is not designed for Canadian all-seasons.
The funny thing is, in the winter, Canadians go to the Carolinas to go golfing. So, I mean, we really shouldn't look to them for advice with tires. So now we have, in the last couple of years, this new category called an all-weather tire. What are they?
So the all-weather tire is really designed for customers that have said that they're not willing to invest and don't want to trade up to winter tires for whatever reason. And we still do know that 57% of Canadians right now do not actually install winter tires. So this is a great hybrid solution for those consumers that want to have enhanced safety and traction in winter, but don't necessarily want to have the hassle of the changeover to winter tires from all season.
And the other thing is we're seeing in cities like Toronto and Vancouver, there's a lot of people live downtown now in condos, and they might not have the space to have two sets of tires.
Right, and or you're unable to lift the tires physically out of your trunk and transport them to get them installed. So there's a number of reasons and benefits to the all-weather tire, not only including the savings of time, but also the storage.
Okay, so different than an all-season, as you mentioned, it's a North Carolina phenomenon. All-weather, is it a true all-weather tire? What are the limitations and what can people expect if they put an all-weather on instead of an all-season?
Right, we want to be completely transparent with consumers in that the all-weather tire is a hybrid, and there is somewhat of a trade-off between an all-season and a winter tire. You are going to get enhanced winter traction in snow, ice, and cold with the all-weather versus an all-season, but versus a winter tire, it's still not going to perform as well. So if you're going to be driving in harsh winter conditions, deep snow, extreme weather, definitely you're going to want to install a dedicated winter tire. Another hybrid or compromise that you're going to make is that you're going to have slightly less tread wear. For an S&T rated all-weather tire, the average mileage rating is 95,000 kilometers. For an all-season tire, you'll typically get, with today's tires, between 110,000 and 115,000 kilometers. So there is that trade-off. So you get the enhanced safety, but maybe not as much tread wear.
But the upside is if you're wanting the extra coverage in the wintertime, you're not having to spend for two sets of tires. So I guess they don't last as long, but you're not having to run two sets.
Exactly. And if you're looking at the investment over a long period of time, you're going to prolong the life either way you cut it. So the investment is essentially the same in both cases if you're going to have your vehicle for, let's say, 4 to 5 years.
What I try to explain to the listeners that call into this show is that an all-weather tire is really good for urban settings where the roads are cleared relatively quickly and they put salt or sand down, and you're just looking for that extra layer of protection.
Exactly. And as I mentioned, if you're driving in extreme winter conditions, you're never going to beat a dedicated winter tire. They are designed to perform optimally in those conditions. But if you're living in, let's say, downtown Vancouver, you live in a condo and, you know, maybe the weekend warrior or one time a month, you know, you're traveling a little bit north to the mountains, then this is a great solution for you.
Okay. Now, I still like having two sets of tires. I like my big summer 20-inch wheels and great performance. And then in the winter, I like to have a smaller 18-inch wheel on my vehicle with straight winters. So talk a bit about a straight winter tire and how much, how they've progressed over the last few years, because winter tires used to be expensive and they didn't last very long. How has that changed?
Definitely the compounding has changed significantly, and that majority of the newer winter tires, and this is where there's an added benefit to invest in a higher-end branded winter tire because they come with silica now. Silica not only improves the performance in winter, but also ensures that the winter tires last a little bit longer. Another key change that's happened in just the last 7 to 10 years is that we used to call them snow tires. Mm-hmm. And I know that when I was first introduced to snow tires, that's what they were called. The industry has actually changed the name of the tires to winter tires. And the reason for that is the compound is also so different in that it doesn't just perform optimally in snow and ice, it actually performs well in just cold conditions. So at 7 degrees Celsius, and that's at plus 7 degrees Celsius, all season tires actually start to lose their flexibility and their grip, where a winter tire maintains that flexibility and that pliability and will actually perform better in just dry, cold conditions. So another key benefit.
And they're actually very good in the rain.
Definitely. So wet performance as well. So if you're looking at one of the features on a winter tire is that it actually comes with what's called sipes. And sipes are almost like little razor blade cuts in the actual tread. And what that does is it enhances the grips because they expand a little bit with the pressure of the car on the ice and on the ground. But it's also designed to evacuate water from ice. So by evacuating the water from ice, you actually get better traction. So that's another feature of the winter tire.
Okay, now if I'm looking at maybe getting a set of the all-weather tires versus a straight winter tire, which one is going to do better on ice? Is the straight winter tire like a huge leap in terms of ice capability?
It actually varies. We've done tests of the Hankook all-weather tire versus our best-selling winter tire and our best-selling all-season tire, so we can actually tell the difference between those. And we found that there was a 20% benefit on ice versus the all-season for the all-weather, but it still was 5 to 6% less performance on ice versus the winter. So there's definitely a hybrid there.
So it does a lot better than an all season, but just only marginally less than a true winter.
Exactly, yeah. And then for snow performance, it's right in the middle. And then across the board for all season capability, so wet handling, dry handling, it was pretty much on par with the all season, but significantly better, obviously, than the winter tire.
Okay, the biggest dilemma that people have when they call this radio show, what tire should I put on my car? There's so many different brands. There are so many different types of tires. I've got a 2003 Hyundai Sonata. What tire should I put on my car? How do you decipher and boil down to one particular tire set for that car?
Well, a tire is an investment in your safety. So if you think about, for example, how much did you spend on your last pair of shoes, Zach? Like just a question.
I don't. How much did you spend?
Okay. Well, I'm looking at my boots today. So they're $250. Mm-hmm. So, I wanted to invest in good boots because I like to look a little bit fashionable and a little bit of performance. You don't want to be nickel and diming on something like your tires when you're investing $250 in your boots, where we see a lot of customers coming in and saying, well, it's $20 more. That seems like a lot. This is something you're going to be driving on and ensuring your safety every single day in the winter. It's worth the investment. By trading up to a brand and maybe spending a little bit more on like a Michelin, a Goodyear, or a Hankook tire, you're going to get the enhanced safety. These manufacturers invest a lot of money in R&D in developing the best compounds and the best winter tires, so definitely worth the investment.
So it's not just the name. When I go and buy a Michelin or a Hankook tire, I'm not just buying the Michelin Man or I'm buying the latest from Hankook. There's actually something behind that?
Definitely. These manufacturers stand behind their tires, and because their names are at the forefront, they're dedicated to making sure that these tires perform to what they say they're going to do. So when you're getting a lesser-known brand, potentially there is a greater risk. So always buy from a credible retailer because they're going to stand behind their tires, and a credible manufacturer that you know is going to produce the best to keep you safe.
Okay, here's a question for you. Why should somebody consider Canadian Tire to buy their tires? I mean, you're the biggest retailer in the country, but what else do you offer?
Well, we've been in business going into 2012. We're actually 90 years selling tires, so we're definitely not new to the business.
Is that Canadian Tire money, the old money collectible now, like the original Canadian Tire money?
Something like that. I know everybody has some, but
I've got a drawer full of this stuff.
Yeah, and you can use it to buy winter tires. So, so there's a number of reasons why it's great to buy a Canadian Tire. Obviously, we have 480 locations across Canada, so if anything ever happens, if you're on a trip across in Ontario, Quebec, British Columbia, Alberta. We'll maintain our warranty at any one of our locations. You have the assurance of buying from a credible retailer that's going to, back up the product. There's also a number of things like we have a price match guarantee, so you can, have confidence that you're getting the best price for the tires that are available in the market. In addition to our excellent warranty, you get 5-year treadwear warranty with roadside assistance, and you can have the assurance that nothing's going to happen. So.
Do you do any testing before you take on a tire? You say, okay, this is, for example, this Optimal 4S, this all-weather tire from Hankook. Do you say, we're interested in that, we're not going to rep that in our stores unless we can prove that it does what it says? Do you do that sort of stuff?
Definitely. I mean, either I personally drive them, so it's kind of one of the perks of the job, and that I should be driving on the tires that we are purchasing to make sure that I can speak to it. I've actually been driving on the all-weather tires for the past year and know for a fact that they are a great tire. In addition, we do perform tests, so we leverage third-party companies. In addition, we also look at the manufacturer's third-party testing. So we've identified a number of credible testing agencies worldwide that we can reference as a third-party source to ensure that they're the best tires for our customers.
Now, we get back to the question about I don't know which tires to choose. Do you have any service online where it can distill all that information down to a couple of sets?
Definitely. Just this fall, we launched our e-commerce program. So now instead of going into the stores twice to buy tires, going to purchase and then coming back to have them installed or pick up your car, you can get it done in one shot. You can go online, purchase your tires, and come in into the store and have them installed. And one of the great benefits of our online website is we have a function called Help Me Choose. So essentially what Help Me Choose is it takes customers through and asks them their year, make, model of their vehicle, what their driving conditions are, what they like and what's important to them about their tire and how they drive. And then it'll spit back some results and a ranked results based on your answers to the questions. So a great tool for customers that don't know.
So somebody who lives in a rural area and drives through a lot of snow, you'll give them tires specific to that task.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll make recommendations and we'll give you a number of different options because there's still other factors, including brand preference and price and, if there's any promotions that are going on that the customer will want to choose. So we'll just really sort them for you and then still give you the option to choose.
All right. What do you say in the tire business? In racing, they see keep it shiny side up. What are they? Any little inside jokes with the tire business?
Keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling. I like that. We'll go with
that.
Melissa Arbour from Canadian Tire, thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Zach.
All right, it's great to have Melissa on. She was on last year, and that's a lot of information about winter tires, all season and all weather tires. If you're just tuning in now and you missed any part of that interview, it's on my website, motormouth.ca, motormouth.ca. You'll find it right on the front of the page there. You can listen to the whole interview, and we're going to obviously get a lot of questions over the next few weeks about winter tires. Up next, we're going to get an update from Mark Bergevin from Odessa Auctions about one of the people that called in last week. Next on Driving. Speaking of Odessa, we had Mark Bergevin on and John McDonald last week talking about the business and how it works and the fastest, they call me Motormouth. Let's hear your Motormouth there, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Zach. How are you? Yeah,
good, good. Hey, you know, last week it was kind of interesting because we introduced the auction to our, you know, my listeners for the first time. I think a lot of people probably aren't aware that there isn't a public auction. I'm sure some people are aware that dealers use the auction to buy and sell cars regularly, but the public auction is something new for a lot of people. And we had some callers call in that were surprised as well and said they were going to, you know, beat a path down to you and get their vehicle sold. One called with a Ranger pickup truck. Did that person come by?
Yeah, absolutely. They came by, Zach, and actually sold the truck this week. So they came in on Monday. We did the appraisal for them, and then again, returned on Tuesday with the truck, consigned it, and gone in 60 seconds. We sold it Wednesday evening, and they've been paid and cashed a check already.
So when you sell it, at when the vehicle's gone, you get a certified check that day?
Yeah, it's actually the following day, Zach.
But okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, we pay you out, and the funds are guaranteed, absolutely, for sure, yes, and it is very quick, very painless, for sure.
We also had another caller named Andrew who had an 08 Kia Sedona van, and he was going to see you as well. Has he come by to have a look?
He has come by. We met with Andrew, and Andrew, too, has sold his 08 Kia Sedona van as well.
Really?
Yes.
All right. That's good news. So that's
two
the whole...
Hmm? I say we're two for two.
That's good to hear. So do you know any of the prices that they wanted and what they got? Can you disclose that?
Yeah, I can, absolutely. On the Ranger, it is all about presenting an offer on the Ranger. People sold the Ranger for a couple hundred dollars less than they had wanted,
mm-hmm.
and Andrew's was a little bit more. He wanted around $13,000, I believe, for the van when we spoke last week, and he ended up selling it for a little bit less than that, but nonetheless got it sold, and I spoke with him yesterday, actually, very happy, and he wanted to tell his story himself on the radio.
Oh, maybe we'll do that next week. The thing Mark, I think a lot of people have to be realistic when you're selling a car, and this is what you do. If anybody sold a car in the old days, you used to go and put your put an ad on the paper, and then you'd put it out there for a couple of weeks, you know, for $8,000, and no one would call. Then you'd phone the paper and say, okay, make it $7,500. No one would call. Then they'd pay, okay, put it in for $7,000, and then you get a few bites. Then you ended up selling it for like, you know, $6,000. And that's the thing about the marketplace, and what you guys do is you gauge the market every day. So someone's expectations of what a vehicle's worth, it sometimes is a bit of a reality check, but that's the market, right?
Absolutely, for sure. And in the case of the Ranger, it kind of worked the opposite. We didn't know exactly what the market would bring, and it brought more than what we expected, and so therefore the customer was happy. So sometimes our prices don't exactly match yours, but it's just a matter of presenting it to the market. You hit the nail on the head, Zach. Once we present it to the market tells us, and then we, you know, deal with both sides of the, you know, the buying side and the selling side, alleviating you from having to do that as the seller.
That's right, and that's the thing. I think a lot of women will be interested in the public auction because a lot of people, women who have an older car, say, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, and, you know, they might not think it's worth trading in, but they want to sell it privately. They don't want somebody coming knocking at their door. They don't want to take somebody out for a test drive. They just don't feel safe doing that. So if they call up Odessa and you guys put the car out, they never even meet the person who buys it. They just get the check the next day and go away. So I think there's a big, a good safety feature there, too, for people who don't want to sell to someone at their front door, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we should really stress that we bring the market to you, right? So
yeah.
That it simplifies the process, absolutely, as you talk of.
Okay, Mark Bergevin from Odessa Public Auction, thanks for the update.
Thank you, Zach.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Okay, talk to you later. More of your calls. We're going to take your calls next on Driving. And welcome back to the show. I just want to say before we get to the phone calls for the remainder of the show, I am proud like a new father of the birth of the motormouth.ca website. It's been totally redone, and I'm pretty happy with the results. It's a whole new layout. There's way more content on there. There's archived radio shows. If you miss a show, you can always go back and listen to it. There's radio interviews. There's video interviews. There's video clips that I produce myself. There's all the stuff I do for Driving Television and newspaper articles. So If you want a lot of information about any of the new cars that are for sale, you can obviously go to my website. That's how you get in touch with me as well, motormouth.ca. You just click at the top there, and you can send an email to me. And, well, I always get back to you. I don't always get back quickly. I do a lot of traveling in this job, off to different car events all over the world. And so sometimes when I'm flying or I'm traveling all day, I can't get back to you. But I do get back to you. And if I don't, email me again, and I will. There's also car news on there. You can find all kinds of stuff. Just this week, the Los Angeles Auto Show took place, and you'll see the first glimpses of the new Ford Escape, the best-selling crossover in Canada. There's a new one coming next year, so watch the video on my website at motormouth.ca. We're going to go to the phone board, and we're going to say hello to Keith. Hey, Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Keith, Zach.
Yeah, Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions for you. I was talking to the RCMP a couple of days ago regarding snow tires, and apparently after minus 7 Celsius, you have to have snow tires on. If you're in an accident with all-season radials on, there's a problem. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, it's. I think you maybe got it plus 7. I think that's the sort of standard industry temperature that a lot of people talk about, and Melissa Arbour in the first half of the show touched on that. When you have an all-season tire or a straight summer tire, is even worse, like a performance tire that's just for summer. When the temperature gets down to 7 degrees, the rubber becomes harder and not as pliable. And as it gets even colder, it can just turn into basically like a frozen puck. So you don't have the traction, the stopping, or the cornering ability. Winter tires are made from a different compound. Same with the all-weather tires. So when the temperature drops, the tires still stay soft. And that's really what's getting you that, other than the big grippy chunks of rubber that grip the snow, in ice and slush and those sorts of things, that's what really makes the difference, is the tire's ability to form and grip onto that versus an all-season tire. So you're right. The all-season tires and the straight summer tires, when the temperature gets colder, are not going to be much good to you.
So what are the insurance implications if you're driving out there today?
I haven't heard of anything yet, and I'm really surprised that the insurance industry across Canada hasn't been more forthright with this, saying, listen, if you're not driving on the right set of winter tires or the right tires for the conditions, there will be insurance implications. I know in Europe, for example, if you are in an accident in the northern sort of Scandinavian countries and you're driving and you don't have the proper tires on, then you're not covered. So this is something that the insurance industry should take on. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet, considering, and you see a lot of performance cars, guys with Mustangs and BMWs and all of these kinds of cars, and they have summer performance tires on. They're crazy driving in the winter with those things.
Yeah, I hear you. One quick question. Now, what's your opinion of a new Jeep Wrangler? I'm considering buying one. Have you heard anything good or bad?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's going to be up there shortly, motormouth.ca. We just did a review of it, and on driving television, it's a big improvement because they put the new Pentastar engine, the same driveline that's in the Grand Cherokee. So you've got the 3.6-liter Pentastar engine with 285 horsepower, and you've got a new 5-speed automatic, the same one that's in the Grand Cherokee, which gets you better crawling ratios in first gear. If you get the manual, you even have more options there. So it's a much better engine. It's better drivability. And a lot of people didn't like the old 3.8-liter engine because it had no bottom-end grunt. This one has more grunt on the bottom end, and that's what Jeep owners want, especially for off-road applications.
Do you know when that new motor went in?
It's for the 12s, so it'll be arriving any time at dealers.
Okay.
So I drove one actually a week and a half ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Good luck.
Bye.
All right, we're going to say hello to Brad. Before I say hello to Brad officially, I just want to let you know, 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. Hey, Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Zach. I want to know, have you got any information on... I believe the CR-V is going to be an all-new model for 2012, and it's a perennial top choice for best vehicle for
yep.
its class. And I just wondered, have you got any information? Have you driven one?
Yes, I went to the vehicle launch in sunny California a couple of weeks ago. Actually, on my website, Once again, motormouth.ca. There's an interview I did with Daryl. I'm gonna mess up his last name because he's got a Japanese last name. But it's on my homepage there under interviews. You can Matsushita. That's Daryl Matsushita from Honda Canada. I did an interview with him on my website under interviews. You can hear that. And also there's pictures of the new CRV that I took at the San Diego event on the homepage as well. The engine and the transmission have been modified, so it's a carryover pretty much the driveline. But the rest of the vehicle, as you mentioned, is all new. It offers more space. It's got a very cool feature from the back. You pull a handle, and the seats flip all the way down automatically. You don't have to fold the seats manually anymore. You just push a lever, and everything happens for you. The dash in the interior is vastly improved over the last model. Check this out. How's this? You get heated seats and a backup camera as standard equipment on all 2012 CRVs, and I think that's going to be a real big deal for Canadians. So heated seats and a backup camera standard on all CRVs. They have a delay with the production of the CRV because of, first of all, they had all the problems with the tsunami in Japan with their parts supply. They got that sorted out, and then Thailand was hit with massive flooding, and a lot of the electronics actually... Every single model in the Honda Acura lineup has been affected by a part shortage when it comes to electronics. So they're getting that sorted out, and they're hoping that the vehicles will be available in January of 2012. The 12 CRV is coming, and it is a big improvement from the previous model when it comes to the interior finish especially. The outside, I think, looks better. It has more cargo space and those very cool seats. Plus, the heated seats as standard equipment is fantastic. We're going to take a quick break, 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. Back with more of your calls next on Driving. Hey, and welcome back to the show. Yeah, the caller before the break touched on the all-new 2012 CRV, as I mentioned, is coming in January. There's been delays with production because of part supply issues with the Thailand flooding. And he mentioned it's been a bestseller and is always chosen by many as a top pick in that crossover category. It is the third best-selling crossover in the country. The Ford Escape is the bestseller. And here's a little news flash for you. As I mentioned on my website, there's a video I did, the first images of the new Ford Escape at the LA Auto Show. So you can go to motormouth.ca and have a look at that video. And the interesting thing, I think there's going to be some great deals. If you don't mind the older body style and you want to get it, see, I always break it down to two different types of people. Are you somebody that gets excited about having the latest and the newest and have to have the latest and newest? Or are you somebody who gets excited about a great deal? If you're somebody that gets excited about saving money and getting a great deal, keep your eye in the newspaper, listening to the radio, watching TV for sales on that 2011 Ford Escape, because they're going to be phasing out that model, bringing in the new one, and whenever that happens, that's when you save the most money. So if you're a deal-driven person, you're looking for a compact crossover, you can look for that. Also, the same for the CRV. There are great incentives in play right now. If you're looking for a 2011 CRV, you don't have to have the latest or the newest. That's when you're going to save the most money. So if you want to look at images of both new products, the 2012 Escape and the 2012 CRV, it's on my website, motormouth.ca. Let's get back to the phone board, and we say hello to Ken. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
Got a question for you. What happened is my friend has a 2011 370Z, and he has a rear fog light that came with the car. Just recently, he just got pulled over with the RCMP, stating that that's an illegal modification, and he got a ticket. And he's trying to...
Is it a Canadian car?
Yeah, it's a Canadian car. He got it from the Nissan dealership in Richmond.
Right.
And it came with the rear fog light and everything, and it's active and everything, and, you know, got the switch and everything. He used it in the fog, you know, it's a fog light. But the RCMP pulled him over on the highway, stating that's an illegal modification, and basically got a VI. And I was wondering if there's any advice that I could give him.
What I would do is I would contact Nissan Canada, call their 1-800 number. I would also get the car hasn't been modified.
Like, no,
it's a new car.
It's a new car, yeah.
Yeah, and I would get confirmation from them that the car obviously meets the transportation requirements to be sold in Canada, and I would take that and have a printout with it showing that it comes with a standard rear fog light to court, show the justice of the peace or the judge, and it'll probably be overturned. I mean, if the car is certified to be sold in this country with that, then that's good to go. Because the car manufacturers have to equip the car with the proper lighting to be sold in this country. So if it meets that and it's on the car, then I can't see how the judge would say that it's illegal.
But it's kind of odd that if there's a car like that sold in Canada, you know, with the factory option of a rear fog light, I think the RCMP should know that with the motor vehicle.
You get a lot of, listen, okay, there's all different levels of policing out there, right? You're going to have a cadet straight out of Saskatchewan, not a cadet. You're going to get a rookie straight out of Saskatchewan who's just finished RCMP school and thinks it's wrong versus a 25-year veteran. So there's all different levels of RCMP officers. There's green ones and there's, veterans, right? So
yeah.
Take it all with a grain of salt. It's not a big deal. I would go to the Justice of the Peace, go to the court date and fight it. First of all, call Nissan Canada, get confirmation that is true. Sometimes cars can slip through the cracks. I mean, maybe it was a European model, a taillight assembly that was put in. I know weird things can happen, but I wouldn't think so.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. There you go. Next, we say hey to Lester. Hey, Lester, go ahead.
Hi, Zach. I like your show, and I tuned in late with your guest today. But I'm just wondering regarding winter tires, if you have a choice between getting ice radials versus winter tires or snow tires, in this region with Vancouver and Lower Mainland, if we don't get that much snow, would it be safer to have ice radials just because of the fact that you're driving most of your majority of your driving is in the morning and evenings when the temperature does drop?
Yeah, the number one thing is that you're looking for a winter tire, first and foremost, or an all-weather tire. All-weather tires will be fine, too, because you're looking for that compound of rubber. It's got a high silica compound, and it lasts a long time, and it stays malleable and soft and can actually, grip the road. I have had experience with both. I think a lot of times the ice radials are a marketing buzz? Because what you're looking at on the blocks of the tire, like the chunks of rubber on the tire, they have these little grooves in there called sipes. And the more of those little grooves there are, that allows the water to go. What happens when the pressure of the car spreads those little grooves out? Water can then go into the grooves, and that allows the rubber to get down onto the ice. The worst problem you have is, with water on top of ice, and that's when it's very slippery.
Right.
If you really are concerned about ice, then maybe, lean towards one of those ice sort of marketed brands. But in my experience, a good set of winter tires will be fine because you still have that problem on the West Coast where you get the wet, heavy snow. So you still need some, and I've been driving all-weather tires for years and I've had no trouble with them at all.
So are you?
The biggest thing when you're driving in the winter is the gray matter between your ears.
Yeah. That's
the first and foremost. You put a good set of winter tires on your car and you drive sensibly for the conditions, you'll be fine.
So are you saying that the ice radials are not really considered winter tires then?
Oh, no, they're winter tires, but they've marketed them that next level. It's a winter tire, but it's also an ice tire. The ultimate ice tire is a tire with studs in it, right? So if you go ice racing or you go in Quebec, in northern Quebec, or in northern Canada, pretty much anywhere, those tires have studs in them. And that's what's going to get you the best traction on ice.
Yeah.
For just the tire on its own, you want to look for a good quality tire with those sipes in it, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
And physically look at the tire.
Right.
Get the tire retailer to show you that. If he's had good experience and feedback from customers that this tire is better on slushy and icy conditions, take his advice.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thanks.
Good luck. And by the way, if you missed, as the caller just mentioned, the interview I did for the first, third of the show with Melissa Arbor from Canadian Tire talking about winter tires, all-weather tires, and all-season tires, the interview is on my website, motormouth.ca. You can go and listen to it. Not now, when the show's over, in about 8 minutes. Back with the last calls next on Driving. And we get right back to the phone board. We say hello to Gene, or is it Jean?
Gene.
Gene. Hey, Gene, go ahead.
How are you?
Great.
Listen, so I'm just double-checking the purchase I'm about to make on a 2003 Volkswagen Jetta station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm told around, it's got about 150,000 kilometers on it.
Is it gas or diesel?
It's gas.
Okay.
And I'm told that the timing belt is one of the things that tends to go around that time.
Does it have any history, records, books?
I do. And as well as the contact with the mechanic that is that's worked on it over the last few years.
And they haven't done it? They haven't done the timing belt?
No, they have. I'm just trying to troubleshoot and make sure that is there anything else that I'm going to be missing?
First and foremost, take it to an independent mechanic, somebody that hopefully has a little experience with Volkswagens, and get them to go over the car, okay? Because 150,000 kilometers, excuse me, on an almost 9-year-old car, there's a lot of stuff that can happen to a car over 9 years. So you need him to open it up, look inside, get underneath it, look if there's any leaks, any potential problems. And somebody who knows that car can also give you some high and low points, things that might come up and things that are probably not a worry. Also, go to Volkswagen forums online. That one thing I would stress, and that's why I really need you to get the car inspected, because the early last decade, they had some, you know, the reliability of the Volkswagens weren't as strong as they have been, and they're getting a lot better recently. So make sure you get it inspected. You will love the car because it's a wonderful car to drive, and it has lots of utility and space, and it's a very planted car, but you have to get it really looked at. I can't tell you other than that. Get somebody who's a professional and really knows. Spend a few $100.
What was the website again? The Volkswagen.
Well, I would just type in Volkswagen web forum or chat or chat room, and you'll be lots of them. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Good luck. All right, we go next to Mary. Hey, Mary.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Zach. You know what? I have a Subaru, and I took it in because my is that the MIL light?
MIL light.
Okay, it's a light on a dashboard.
Sure.
That goes on when there's something wrong with the engine.
Okay, it's the engine light, yeah?
Yeah, engine light. And anyway, they looked at it and couldn't find anything. However, they found that the fuel filter pipe is rotten, may have evaporation leak from the side valve intermittently, and cause the MIL to come on.
Okay. Well,
car only has... it's a 2003.
Yeah, so it's a 9-year-old car. I'm going to give you the same advice I gave the last caller. Go and get the vehicle inspected. If you don't take this dealership or mechanic's word for it, get a second inspection. It doesn't cost you anything for them to look at it, or maybe a small amount. Get somebody else to give you a second opinion on that. I can't see the car. I can't diagnose anything on the phone, but you need to get a technician to give a good hard look at the car and get them to plug the car into a computer. All these cars are heavily computerized now, and they can see what they call throwing a code. If the car is throwing off any kind of error code, then they can drill down and see what the problem might be. That's my best advice to you, is if the mechanic's telling you there's some rot on one of the lines and it could be throwing this code, then that's probably good advice. But if you don't believe them, get a second opinion. The show is brought to you by Odessa Public Auction. I'm Zach Spencer. Thanks so much for calling. Don't forget, my website is all new, motormouth.ca. You can always call me and contact me there, motormouth.ca. I'm Zach Spencer. Speak to you next week on Driving.